We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Dana and Parks. Happy Friday. What a gorgeous day. If you're listening to this in the bonus hour, I hope you are doing something that makes you happy with your family this weekend. I know a lot of people heading to the lake. Please be careful on that drive. We will burn a couple of stories here from the stack while we await our guest in the 3 o'clock hour. I think even John Grayson is coming back for this one. So stick around for that. A comedian from The Daily Show in town to do a show who's going to swing by here and make some time in between stops with his busy schedule. And then it's worth noting all of the Big Slick fans. You know what week it is. It is Big Slick Week here in Kansas City. Yes, you will see several stars around town this weekend. That is just the way it goes. Probably at the airport as we speak, as they start flying in. Some of them already I saw.
I mean, they're definitely not skip-lagging.
No, they're not skip-lagging. They're over at Children's Mercy doing good work today, and some of them doing some media, which is fun, and we always, always love Big Slick Week and all of the millions of dollars that our local celebrities have raised for Children's Mercy over the years. Did you see that they are still looking for one infamous Kansas Cityan? Not going to call him famous. We are going to call him infamous.
Well, he was famous. Until he
snapped,
became less.
Shot in time.
Good famous.
I mean, a lot of us hadn't heard of the guy until.
I'm going to be honest, Dan. I hadn't either. Thank you.
Yeah.
I heard of X Factor, but now this has gotten
legs. I mean,
we
don't have to know every single thing about every single thing, you know.
Well, we didn't know his name, but we all saw him at the Chiefs games.
Well, we do now.
Now we know his name.
Infamous Chiefs superfan has made the most wanted list. They still cannot find Xavier Bobadar, infamous Kansas City Chiefs superfan, a.k.a. Chiefsaholic, has been recently added to the Greater Kansas City Crime Stoppers Most Wanted list.
By the way, it was 66 days ago today.
I remember
that
the
he was supposed
guys.
To show up.
The sports guys were saying out in the newsroom yesterday, how has he been on the lam for 66 days? But he is.
Yeah, Cody Tapp tweeted that out yesterday.
Good God. He is wanted for robbing a bank near Tulsa, Oklahoma in December. In March, he was charged with removing an ankle monitor and failing to appear in Oklahoma for a scheduled court appearance. An arrest warrant, by the way, was issued with a $1 million bond. Do you remember the bondsman who put up bond for him in the initial appearance case said he only did so because he, too, was a Chiefs fan?
Yeah, so they put in a request to lower his bond because it was $200,000 and he didn't have the money to pay it. So he requested that the bond be lowered to, I think it was like 50 that he asked for.
Yeah.
They met the middle at about 80, and the bondsman paid out, and he also requested a permission to leave the state for a pre-planned family trip to Arizona.
Right, which was the
Super Bowl. And that was denied, but he did not return for his court appearance after bonding out.
He is on the most wanted list, by the way, which included that Javian Mitchell Locke, the idiot who was accused of shooting at cops and then Platte County released him. He was on the most wanted list, but was found by U.S. Marshals late Wednesday. That was the case where, again, he's accused of shooting at three different police officers in Wyandotte. They, for some reason, put him in the Platte County jail, where he then walked off on traffic ticket warrants.
He didn't really get that far, though.
Yeah, he was around town, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in Kansas City.
Well, and they should charge anyone else with harboring a fugitive who knew where he was and, you know, let him couch surf or whatever.
Hopefully he knew better than to run. Not that he has a deep moral compass.
Yeah, I'm guessing after you shoot three cops, yeah, your moral well is a little dry.
Also, one of the men accused of shooting six-year-old Sir Antonio Brown was booked into the Wyandotte County Jail this week.
Good.
17-year-old is also now back in Kansas City. The third suspect is still on the loose.
Jesus, 17 years old. My God. Let's talk about AI for a little bit. And in one instance where I am against what is being proposed, and let me tell you why. We started the 2 o'clock hour talking about death threats against the Clay County prosecutor who is prosecuting the case against the 84-year-old man who shot Ralph Jarl, the teenager who did nothing more than ring the wrong doorbell at 10 o'clock at night. And the Clay County prosecutor came out with a statement today talking about the fact that, yes, and confirming the fact that he and his staff have received death threats over the case, not by the people who are outraged about what happened to teenager Ralph Jarl, but by people who disagree with the fact that this 84-year-old accused of shooting that child has been charged at all. And that in and of itself, Sam, is an outrage. I don't care what. There's actually is no side to be on in that case. I'm sorry. It was a 16-year-old that rang the wrong doorbell. There is no side to be on that case.
Yeah. And I mean, I could see death threats coming from either side.
The
victim side wanting higher charges, whatever those may be. And the alleged side.
I don't, because the family has been very out front and outspoken, as anyone would be, all along the way, talking about Ralph's recovery, talking about the fact that they would prefer Gene Peters Baker to prosecute that case. So they have been open about the fact that they're not necessarily happy with the direction the prosecution is going, given the laws and the constraints that that case is under. I don't think a single threat is coming from the Ralph Jarl side.
Well, I don't think they're coming from the family.
No, I think these are nuts who... Yeah. Think that 84-year-old somehow allegedly had the right to shoot that kid. So we started the 2 o'clock hour talking about that, and we are going to continue with a sports angle that we see in all sports. And we've heard other very famous athletes talk about this, that after a loss, and I don't care if we're talking about a Royals player or a Chiefs player or a tennis player, that people in very elite, high level athletics have been threatened with death after a loss. So listen to this. This happens to be about tennis, but my God, you know we see it in every single sport. The French Open has announced they hope AI can help their elite tennis players block death threats and other social media hate. Francis Tiafoe, who went all the way to the end at Wimbledon, I believe, a year or two ago, says he routinely receives death threats via social media after he loses professional tennis matches. Jessica Pegula says the same. So does Donna Vekic, directed at both her and her family. Quoting here from TFO, and if I'm mispronouncing that, I am so sorry, because I did watch him go all the way last year and rooted for him the entire time. 25 years old, he's absolutely incredible. Everyone gets them after a loss, said the 25-year-old regarding the death threats from Maryland, who was a semifinalist at last year's U.S. Open and reached the French Open's third round with a victory yesterday. It is just how society is. I know that affects people's mental health. That is very real. So listen to this. In a bid to try and protect athletes from that sort of abuse, during the 15-day Grand Slam tournament that ends June 11th, the French Tennis Federation is paying a company to provide players with software that uses artificial intelligence to block death threats. Every contestant in every category, singles, doubles, juniors, wheelchair competitors, for a total of 700 to 800 athletes, are allowed free access to something called bodyguard.ai, for use on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. and a few dozen players have already signed up. Quoting here from one of the players, this is really important for us, for the players to be very comfortable, to be able to focus on the competition. Tennis is mental. It's really what you have in your mind that counts. And hell, I would say that for any sport. Certainly golf. How much of that is between your ears? And my father would always say it's 99%. Here's the problem with AI that blocks anyone. I don't care if you're a prosecutor, if you're an athlete, if you have a high profile around job around town. The problem with AI blocking a death threat is that you are not going to see the death threat.
Right. You will not be aware if they actually plan on carrying it out.
Correct. Yeah. You will not be aware. To me, every single person online who levels a threat of death, I don't care what you do for a living, needs to be prosecuted.
Also, if a death threat's going to get into your mental while playing tennis.
But Sam, some of these are kids. You know that.
Well, I mean,
I understand
that, but it's a death threat. It's the dumb public. Just get out and play the sport and ignore it. They're not going to come kill you while you're playing tennis.
I want to ask our listeners about this. We have seen other very high-profile athletes go through extreme mental health anxiety and crisis.
Yeah.
Because they can't, they're done. They cannot handle it anymore. I play baseball for a living. I play football for a living. I do things as an elite athlete to bring people joy, and then you go online and you see people threatening your life. I understand the need to block that to help them mentally, but someone needs to monitor it so that those people who are threatening athletes or anyone,
I would agree there,
can be held accountable. 913-586-7798. We have had some high-profile cases here. I'm not going to mention any of the athletes' names. You know who I'm talking about. This does get in your head, and I don't think it's fair to say, well, they're an athlete. They get paid millions of dollars. Just don't read it.
And it's all traceable. They will find you, and it's very illegal.
A death threat is a felony, and I am concerned that if we start blocking that using AI, you're not going to see the crazy person with the gun coming. 913-586-7798. Back with much more. You're listening to Dana and Parks. I said to Sam during the break, wasn't there a tennis player a couple years ago where someone actually came out onto the court and like was acting crazy?
The answer is yes. There was one athlete who has been stabbed in play. It was Monica Seles in 1993. I'm assuming at the time the stands went right up to the tennis courts because somebody went to the front of the stands during a break. She was standing at her bench and stabbed her between the shoulder blades at a depth of an inch and a half.
I thought it was more recent than that, but that is terrifying. And now that you say that, I do remember it was Seles.
She was in Hamburg, Germany.
I think there was another one more recently, though. Let's go to Dale in Merriam as we continue our discussion about the Tennis Federation's decision to block death threats from its athletes. Dale, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dana. I think if someone makes a very specific death threat against a person, they should be exposed and prosecuted, no question about it. On the other hand, you've been on radio and TV a long time. I was too for a long time. I've gotten death threats. And the FBI will always tell you that 99 9/10% of those are not to be taken very seriously.
And I would always say, Dale, tell me the point one that I'm supposed to take seriously. Which guy's that?
I know. That's why I want to know who they are, and I think they should be prosecuted, no doubt about it. On the other hand, I'm a little concerned about AI or social media banning people and making too many decisions because I've been banned from Facebook 3 or 4 times or suspended, you know, because I used the term, and I know it's a harsh term, but I said a child molester, anybody who molests a child should be shot and hung after torture. Okay. That's not a death threat. That's a real expression of anger and meaning that I think there should be no tolerance for child molesters.
Yeah, child molesters should be strung up. I've seen people say that. But when you write that, I can see Facebook like that somehow triggers some algorithm where they kick you off and put you in timeout for a couple of weeks.
That's exactly right. But specific death threats against specific people, those people should be exposed and prosecuted to the full extent. No question about it. Agree with you.
Dale, thank you so much. And I also feel like when it comes to a death threat over something so stupid, like a game, do you take those more seriously? Or do you take it less seriously because that's just someone who had one too many beers at a baseball game? You know, you suck, you know, screaming right. Screaming at the players. Now, I think if you're the player, to Dale's point, you don't know which one is real and which one is I'm an idiot. I've had too much to drink and I shouldn't have said that.
There are a variety of players who have been attacked outside of the sport in a variety of ways. I mean, it not stabbed. There was a gentleman with a hat or not gentleman, but a guy with a hat who tried to attack Roger Federer, but then when he was arrested, he said, no, I was paying homage. I wasn't attacking him.
Oh, good God.
I mean, you have athletes who were shot, but not because of the way that they played the sport, but for whatever other reason. There was a hockey player who was in the penalty box for a 5-minute penalty for fighting, and a fan decided to jump in the penalty box and try to fight the hockey player and lost.
I'm curious because there are these websites now that are blocking horrible things. And you can have the comments blocked across all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is. Do they keep some database of what is being blocked? And then also, how much does it cost to have something done like that? You know, when we talk about bullying, and I'm thinking more of like the 13-year-old, the 14-year-old, if there was a program that could somehow block a child's phone from bullying, would we not want that for the child? It doesn't mean the comments aren't being said, and it doesn't mean the comments aren't being posted, but if there was some way with kids, especially those struggling with, you know, weight issues, acne issues, sexual orientation issues, if there was a way to protect kids from that on social, I would be all for that.
Well,
in a way that it worries me about the death threat with the athlete, because I feel like with a death threat, you need to know it's coming. With kids just being horribly mean to a child who is struggling, if there's some kind of program to protect the kids from that, let's have that conversation.
I love the idea of that. The only concern that I would have is that kids are relentless, especially kids that are jerks. And so if you start blocking the private DMs of bullying, which is a great option, and if we could get that done, would be awesome, they're just going to take it public for everyone to see.
913-586-7798. A reminder, Festivus Friday, come your way straight at 5 o'clock. We will air the grievances. Brought to you by Greenway Ford. It's a new day, a new way at the all-new Greenway Ford in Raytown. Back with much more, including John Grayson, who will sit in for a little bit as our guest is just now arriving. And we cannot wait to share that with you straight ahead. Stick with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome on back to Dana and Parks on this fine Friday. It is big slick time, by the way, if you didn't notice, with celebrities descending all over Kansas City for that absolutely packed weekend.
Yeah, flying in on their PJs.
Flying in on the PJs. Mm-hmm. Rob Riggle, of course, is in town. Heidi Gardner, my favorite from Saturday Night Live, who did that absolute hilarious skit when Travis Kelce hosted. She will be in town. Jason Sudeikis, of course, Riggle, Rudd, all of them. And some new celebrities, including one, by the way, that was in my very favorite show. She played the bailiff in Jury Duty. I've told you all to watch Jury Duty, that mockumentary about the trial. Yeah. The bailiff in Jury Duty is in Kansas City. And a buddy of mine told me about it, who's on the board and does a ton of work with Big Slick. And I'm like, oh, my God, I want to meet her. I want to meet her so bad. So she will be one of the celebrities this year. And then, you know, they tend to always come back.
Well, you didn't get VIP tickets?
I did not. We're out of town. What? I know we're out of town this weekend. But yeah, she is one of the celebrities. And I do wonder if Bridget Everett will be involved this year and or next year, because she's now such a big deal that HBO announced today they are renewing season 3 of my favorite show of all time, Somebody Somewhere, that is set in Manhattan, Kansas. Please check that out. If you have not. And speaking of Heidi Gardner and Travis Kelce, did you see Kelce has signed on with a talent agency, Sam? This was just a little blurb today in the Kansas City Star, and I didn't even read the story. It's not surprising to me at all that he's signed on with a talent agency, and I don't mean a football talent agency. Think like big-time Hollywood talent agency.
A huge agency,
yeah,
by the way.
And who is the agent? Did it list the agent?
I can't remember the name of it, but it's a big one.
It's like William Morris or something like that. He, you know, after he hosted Saturday Night Live, it was such a big deal and such a huge hit that I think people started looking at him maybe in a different way. Like, this could be someone who does commentating when his football career comes to its natural, hopefully very lengthy end. This is somebody, obviously, who can do commercial work, but comedy work.
Yeah, he signed with CAA.
Yeah, CAA, which stands
Creative
for...
Creative Artists
You
Agency.
Are going to make some money, my friend. I mean, he could theoretically end up going on and making more money in Hollywood than he ever did in football. Look at what The Rock did.
Play as long as you can,
I mean, started
Travis.
Out in wrestling and is now one of the most bankable stars in
WWE is just
the
acting
world.
Anyway.
You know, it absolutely is. But I laughed because I remember the headline just enough to be dangerous was basically like, don't freak out. Travis Kelce isn't leaving football,
right.
But he did sign on with a talent agency. And trust me when I say he is going to make a ton of money regardless of what he does. Look at the popularity of the podcast with Travis and his brother.
The New Heights podcast.
You know, and yes, they have the name recognition and yes, they have a platform, but you need a whole lot more than that to make a successful go at a podcast.
Do you think
it's one in a billion to get one of those things to hit the way theirs has hit?
Do you think that he would be a serious role actor or comedy only?
I don't know. Because
I mean,
look,
we know he can do the comedic part.
Yeah, look at Adam Sandler and some of my favorite roles he's been in lately. You know, I wasn't a huge Adam Sandler like movie comedy person,
right?
But some of his more serious roles
Hustle,
lately have
yeah.
been absolutely incredible. So he's just going to be so great at whatever he does. And back to the podcast just for a second. You know, there's a saying that podcasts are like blanks. Everyone has one, or if you don't have one, you want one. It is very, very hard to do that and to do that well, and it is even harder to make money doing that.
Yeah.
I've had so many people around town, I want to start a podcast. And I'm like, if you want to do that as a hobby and you have money to burn and you just want to do it because it brings you joy, please do that.
Right.
If you're trying to do that because you want to be Travis Kelce, get in line behind 40 billion other people who have a podcast. It's just very, very hard to make a go of it. Speaking of famous people, John Grayson is now in the studio.
What does that have to do with famous people? Wait a minute. Did I miss something? I missed a day.
Roy Wood Jr. is finally here, and I'm so excited. I am going to come hug you at some point, but not in a weird way.
promote my podcast, but I think I'm going to cancel it.
You're going to laugh. Because I actually would listen to your podcast. I saw that you just interviewed someone that is near and dear to my heart, and we'll get to that in a moment. But while you guys were downstairs and you were bringing up our guest, John, Sam, I've been sitting here 11 years. Sam says to me, can you pull out mic number 7 for Mr. Wood? And I literally looked back at him and said, they're numbered? I had no idea. That's how little I have to do with the construction of
my
this program.
My mic is the only important mic.
That's your intro. I don't know how any of this crap works, and I'm in here alone. Go.
That's right. Oh, man. Yeah, welcome to Radio with No Introduction, Roy Wood Jr.
Yeah. Good to see you all. Happy to be here.
Have you been in Kansas City before, and do you know that it's Missouri and Kansas, and right now you sit on the Kansas side?
Yeah, I know it's some sort of Crip and Blood thing you guys have going on, and I'm not going to step in that. I'm from Alabama. I come in peace.
Don't welcome the audience and get the city wrong. I tell everybody that.
A mediator to negotiate the freeway construction chaos that you all will be sharing. It's been 10 years. I've been doing comedy 25 years. I've only been in Kansas City 3 days total.
Okay.
In my career. Welcome. It's just a spot that there is a certain level of talent. I was speaking with someone last night about this. You all have such a quality, top tier level of entertainers that have come from this market that your standards for comedy are very high.
Yeah.
As a market. So you have to get to a certain point to even be invited here to headline. So finally, at the point where I'm Kansas City worthy.
You're it?
Yeah,
you're
so it. I'll be out at Zona Rosa. We'll test and see if my fame is worthy enough to compete against Spider-Man.
You're going to be fine.
All it takes is hosting the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and then finally, right? You get up to Kansas City level.
You laugh, but there's certain markets where you have to be of a certain worth because we don't want to see anything that is crap.
Rob Riggle's in town right now, and Sudeikis and Rudd, they're all in town.
The whole lineup, Heidi Gardner, they're all playing softball today. I'm going up against famous Kansas City softball.
I know. I have never done
this. Praying for rain. Where's the tornado? Excuse me. Where's the tornado watch? I don't want to be morbid.
Watch or a warning. Whatever. Yeah, we're used to it here.
Warning.
I have never done this, but at the NFL draft, and I was right down front. Like, Patrick Mahomes was right there, but I'm like, eh. I look over to my left, and I love me some Patrick Mahomes. I see Heidi Gardner. I have never done this, Roy. Can I call you Roy? I run over, and I did that thing. I did that thing where I'm like, I'm so sorry to bother you. I am not a weirdo. I swear to you I'm not a weirdo, but my God, I love Saturday Night Live. And she was lovely, but then after you do that, you feel like an idiot, and I'm sure you get that all the time.
You got to do it. I don't get it all the time. What I get is people wanting to continue a conversation that they were having with me in their head. And that is more weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Daily Show, we talk about a lot of crap. And then people come up, another thing that you left out on that piece.
15 years ago. Yeah.
And I'm like, man, we at Panera. I'm not trying to argue gun reform.
You know,
at a Panera. Just say you watch the show. Let's take a picture. Like, I'm not rude about it, but it's just a weird...
Right.
I don't know how to double dutch into that conversation.
Let me tee this up for you, okay? What was that one thing you were talking about? and then you just go, I don't know what I had for breakfast yesterday. You know how our brains work.
Yeah, and then I start with the most divisive stuff that I've ever done on the show.
It was abortion. It was like,
oh, are you talking about the need for the police reform thing where I did a walk along through a police training, anti-bias training, and they're like, No, it wasn't that.
Yeah, it's just going to take you an hour to get to it. You were leading into something that we had this conversation a couple of years back about what The Daily Show taught you about writing comedy. And that was a different audience. And I want, if you can, to go through a little bit of that again about learning how to take the different sides of an argument and build humor.
And then find the weird, here's how we haven't looked at it yet. That's all I'm trying to do. Like, for whatever The Daily Show, because my stand-up, and it's weird because The Daily Show doesn't completely honor what my comedy is. My comedy is more escapist. I'm not up there trying to, it's not a town hall.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to do that. Like when the anthem thing was the thing with Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Stand for the anthem, kneel for the anthem. And my argument was, what if we just changed the song? Is there another song we would all stand for as a society? And then the joke is exploring various Bruno Mars songs. Right. Because I feel like we all like Bruno Mars because he looks like every race at the same time. And what's more unifying? I swear this joke isn't as crazy. On stage, it makes more sense. In a radio station, I sound like I'm just saying. He looks like all of them.
Back up. You did just say that. Back up. I want you to back up for our listeners how you got started and then ended up at The Daily Show. Let's just back way up, because I am a consumer of all things comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's harder to end up, I think, on the PGA Tour on a Sunday than it is to do what you have done and make a living out of it.
I got lucky, and I got the audition for The Daily Show twice. That's how wild my story is. Like, you get your tour card. When I was 19, I got arrested for stealing credit cards. And so I'm like, well, prison time. I guess I'll go do comedy until prison. And then got probation instead of prison. And then just kept doing comedy. And literally that was the cat. Like, I was always funny, but I never had the courage. What gave me the courage was the idea that in 3 months, a judge is going to take my freedom from me. So let me do everything I've ever wanted to do. So I started doing radio when I got out of college. I got a degree in broadcast. I started doing radio. I'm doing comedy while I'm doing radio. I'm traveling. Like, I'll do radio till 10 in the morning. I'll drive up to 5 hours was the threshold. I would drive 5 hours to another market, perform that night, get back in the car, drive 5 hours back to Birmingham, sleep in the jock lounge. You know the days in the 90s. Like, you would, there was hey kids, let me tell you about the radio station jock lounge. Every radio station in the late 90s, early aughts had a couch that used to be on a porn set.
And still was in a lot of ways.
Yeah, a lot of porn stuff still. A lot of stains on this couch. And that was the one comfortable place to lay your head as an intern. I'm putting in 45 hours a week. I'm getting paid for like 12 or something.
Yeah. We're
violating every labor law. But it was worth it. And you couldn't take me away from it. So I kept doing stand-up. And I moved to L.A. And I get the TV opportunity. You do Letterman. You do Craig Ferguson. You do the run of the late night boys. Conan's and all of that. And then I was on a sitcom with my man Steve Byrne on TBS called Sullivan and Son. It gets canceled. I'm adrift for a year in L.A. And so it just so happens I had a couple guys that I went to college with in journalism who at this point were producers at ESPN. And they go, hey, man, there's this new woman, Jemele Hill, and she's doing this show with this other guy, Michael Smith. It's called His and Hers. You want to come on and just be a guest? They need guests. And I go, cool, I'll drive up to Bristol. Anytime I'm on the East Coast doing a college, I would drive to Bristol. I would do ESPN for free. I did well enough that, hey, man, you did good on Jemele. There's this guy, Bomani Jones. You want to do something with, hey, man, Bomani likes you. There's this other show we do. And hey, there's this thing called Sports Nation. You live in L.A. Do you want to just go to Sports Nation once a month? Over the course of that year, I'm doing all of these random shows, and that's keeping me relevant. It's literally keeping my lights on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I get a call from my man, Neil Brennan. Hey, The Daily Show is looking for people. I think one of the producers saw you on ESPN being funny about sports. If you can make sports funny, you probably could do politics. Do you want to audition? And I was like, yeah. And that was the beginning of it. That was 2015. And so I auditioned. I got the job. I got the call that I got the job that same day on the way to the airport, and I had 10 days to move to Los Angeles.
My God. Did you understand even at that time how much that changed the way young people got their news? I mean, that was the most revolutionary. Like, did you know in your mind what a big deal that was and would continue to become?
Yeah, because it was how I got my news. Like, when I auditioned the first time in 06, I wasn't ready. I just didn't have the comedic chops, knowing what I know now. But that's what I watched on a regular basis was The Daily Show. And that's the thing that's weird about it now, is that now that because we don't have a host and we're doing all this guest hosting thing and the writer's strike has everything kind of like stuck in limbo right now, what is the next evolution of it? Because to me, with news satire, where I feel like the show is what we've done it, was Trevor's iteration. You know, John was John, and Trevor used sketch comedy a lot more, and he used the correspondence more than John did to help tell the story of America. To me, The Daily Show works. News satire works when it looks like the regular way people get their news.
Sure.
Jon Stewart, the rise of Jon Stewart was also the rise of cable news. So Jon Stewart's show looking like cable news worked. The question I feel like we got to answer on the other side of the writer's strike, where you get your news from now, what does it look like? Because news is way more divisive. People pick a team, and that's my channel, and that's the only channel I watch. I don't watch any other channel. And then there's people that only watch stuff on the internet. And that looks visually, it looks different.
Yeah.
So how do you create a show that parodies the news when the way we get the news now is more segmented? 2002, everybody got their news from a dude in a suit and a chair at a desk and a blue studio. It's not the same now. So to me, that's the needle that the next host has got to figure out is how do I make this look like what everybody does when everybody is rooting for a different channel or a different platform?
Yeah, a couple minutes, stick around.
Podcasts and stuff.
You are listening to Dana and Parks. We will be back with much more, including the White House Correspondents' Dinner. My God, what was that like? We'll talk about that straight ahead. Stick with us. Welcome back to Dana and Parks. Some Bruno Mars for you. We are thrilled to welcome comedian Roy Wood Jr. into town, playing at Zona Rosa, correct? Super fun. One of the shows, I believe, is sold out. There are still tickets online.
Yeah, two tomorrow.
For tomorrow.
Yeah, and you can come tonight with your spouse, and tomorrow bring the person you love.
Yeah. Gosh. Come twice. Come three times.
I ain't gonna snitch.
How has your comedy evolved, really, since you started and the kind of unusual way you got started? Then you launched to The Daily Show, and then I look up and you're interviewing President Barack Obama, and then you're doing the White House Correspondents' Dinner. That is one hell of an evolution.
I am more in tune with the nuance and issues. Like, I don't feel like we try to make everything really broad and just one big yes or no, right or wrong thing. And I just think most issues, there's a little more nuance to them. So I like talking about that on stage. Like, I said it before, I'm not trying to come on stage and tell you I'm right and here's why I'm right. Like, a lot of comedy can be, here's why I'm right and you're wrong and they're stupid. It's like, but you kind of have to consider why somebody thinks and feels that way. And you also have to look at the bigger, broader parts of conversation. Like if we want to talk about like something this week, I don't think this is something I'll crack on stage yet because I need to, I call it juggling dynamite.
Yeah.
But like when you look at everything that's happening with Target, right? And like everybody's attacking the Targets now because they got merchandise that I don't like.
Yeah.
Get it out of the store.
I'm not drinking this beer.
Okay.
And then they get it out of the store and everybody else gets mad at them.
And then everybody gets mad, which as a corporation, you probably should have just sold stuff without displays. Like if I ran a store now, I just wouldn't celebrate nothing. Like
Fourth of July, no.
Like, do you have a Christmas display?
Yeah.
Nope. Do you have Christmas lights? Nope. But I'd sell them in March. I'd do the opposite. I'd celebrate your thing in the month where it's not supposed to be celebrated.
The thing, though, that I've been wanting to ask you about since you did it is that, you know, when Trevor left The Daily Show and they started doing the round robin hosting thing and you got your week, And it was so smooth. And I mean, seeing you behind the desk like that, it just felt like, okay, that's where Roy was supposed to be the whole time. Great correspondent, but how was that different? I mean, you've had the cameras on that show on you so many times, but then you get to sit behind the desk and it's your thing.
You get to be emotional. That's the thing I didn't realize.
Okay.
As a correspondent, you don't get to connect with feelings. Your job is to just be crazy town sidekick.
Yeah.
Say the wild, like the college thing. That's a perfect example. Like people go, oh, student debt, eliminate student debt. Okay, fine. But why does college cost this much in the first place, bro? And what happened to get it to that point? And how is this? Like you know college is making money. Like they don't never post the prices.
Yeah.
Anywhere where they don't tell you the price, you know that's right. Gonna cost. Like the hospital ain't got no, like, you know, you go in a barbecue spot, they got the prices. Yeah. You never went to an emergency room. And how much is an aspirin? You see it up on the board, baby. It's $90. For one, yes, baby, you can get the two pack for $160. But like this idea of looking at my own college degree, I got to do a segment about colleges and then just straight up question, whether or not my degree was worth it. As I sit in a chair doing what my degree trained me
exactly.
to do.
Exactly.
And I think that's a question a lot of people have about college that's never asked. So as a correspondent, I would just come on and go, Trevor, you know college is crazy, joke, joke, joke. But as a host, I can sit in the emotion and the ebb and flow of a story. And I think that's the thing. That's why I really hope, if nothing else, and I don't even care if I don't get picked to host The Daily Show, but I hope they pick a host. I hope they don't stay with a guest host the rest of the way, because comedy is about trust, and you need to see a person night after night.
Yeah.
And once you know their heart, then that gives them more real estate to joke about weirder stuff and dangerous stuff, because I know you. If I don't know you, your jokes have to stay in the same PC box the entire time.
I know you don't want to say it. I will. That show should be yours.
Well, thank you. We'll see. But, you know, in the meantime, it's a writer's strike. So stay my ass on the road.
It's going to be a quiet show with the writer's strike. Yeah, do you have a couple more minutes or do you have to get out of here?
I'm good. We're good.
All right. Well, we'll stick around one more segment and then we'll let you out of here, because I still want to hear about the White House Correspondents' Dinner. 913-586-7798. You can text in a question if you have it for comedian Roy Wood Jr. We're back with much more on Dana and Parks straight ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.